I got a pen.
John, he uses 20s.
What's the first one? Richard's got a salt
beer. Number 12.
12.
God bless insurance.
I'm doing that distance spot now.
Anyone want to praise the Lord while we're up here? Go ahead, brother.
He's struggling.
Yeah, I was like, that's a lot in his mouth. Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
I, you know, I'm thankful for the pastor's peer pressure of a six-year-old little girl, Miss Nora. And Audrey, did you subscribe to just Nora? Amen. Just Nora. Yep. Nora, you get her straight, all right? But, I'm thankful for these two. Amen. I pick on them every once in a while when I see them, Brother Scooter and Sister Woody's, and it's always a blessing. I was telling Sister Woody, I said, I can't believe how much those two have grown. Of course, we haven't seen them in over a year, but I think the last time we'd seen them, we went Christmas caroling to those that were around and shut-ins, and boy, they've grown a lot. Missed a whole year of me.
I'd like to praise the Lord.
They missed it. Audrey, she's like, oh. Like that was the greatest disappointment.
I'd like to praise the Lord. I've been accepting friends requests from different people on different countries and all. And I sent them a 3-question questionnaire. I said, how do you get saved? And who is Jesus? And can you lose your salvation? Well, one came back with the correct answers and all. They asked me about how I got saved. And so I gave them my testimony. I started off with in September 2014. My brother came and invited me to church and came and got up under conviction and got saved in December 2014. My wife got saved and my little girl got saved in 2019. So I just want to praise the Lord for the church and for my brother. Amen. And his persistence in inviting me.
Amen. 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 It's good to be saved.
Amen.
I
They were still talking about that track when you left.
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
It's good. You never know.
Well, I'm glad you were there. So amen. Back up
and back forth. Yeah. Yeah, we tried to push you a little bit.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Yeah.
That little song.
I could thank the Lord for you never see everybody.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. get our head to turn, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, brother.
Amen. Let's all take our hymn books and turn to page number 12, Blessed Redeemer.
Amen.
Now let's stand, please. Good be in the house of the Lord tonight. Thankful for his provisions he made for us.
Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, he's now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, poor sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, the seated brave. And while his lifeblood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, Blessed Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Number 3.
Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, since now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, poor sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this night, Lord. Do thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Thank you for going to the cross for our sins, Lord. And, Lord, nobody killed you, but you gave your life for
That's
us.
Right.
Do you pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight as we go over your word, Lord. I pray you'd convict hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, be challenged to live like you, and Lord, and lose our own will, but find yours.
Right.
We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to page number 7. I gave my life for thee.
Amen.
Page number 7.
Sorry.
Oh, you know.
I'm not really familiar with that much. I mean, I know it, but I don't know it yet. Real good. Okay.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou my ransom be, and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circle throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee, hast thou left aught for me? I left it all for thee, hast thou left aught for me?
Number 3.
I suffered much for thee, yea, more than thy tongue can tell. Of bitterest agony, to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? Number four. And I have brought to thee, ye down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me?
This song's got a lot of history behind it. How many years ago we sung in the parade? Christmas parade. Remember, we all dressed in red or something.
Yeah, we all not.
Just we had a red tie
all,
or something. You weren't there. Were you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I thought you were. Yeah. Anyway, the Parks family. Those that don't remember the Parks. Remember, Lois and Paul. Yeah. Anyway, they were in it. But they loved to sing, didn't they? And they can sing now, I'll tell you what, especially Lewis. Anyway, this is a song we sung back then on the stage. I got a little stage fright that day because they had a big old sound system. Oh, I just saw that stuff. Oh, I'm sorry, page number 28. Y'all should know it by heart.
There is not another sister, friend, or brother loves the way that Jesus can. He proved his love for me when he died on Calvary. He gave his life for fallen man. His love is a boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me. His love is an endless love that will last through all eternity. Oh, Jesus wants to love you. There is none above you. You are precious in His sight. He will never fail you when the doubts assail you. He'll be with you day and night. His love is a boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me. His love is an endless love that will last through all eternity.
Let's do that first verse again. I like that first verse.
There is not another sister, friend, or brother loves the way that Jesus can.
That's right.
He proved his love for me when he died on Calvary. He gave his life for fallen man.
You'll help us out.
His love is a boundless love, and it reaches down and touches us. His love is an endless love. His love, His love, His love, His love, His love is a boundless love.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books and turn to page number 244.
Amen.
Let me get there first. Now let's stand, please.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Number three. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that's brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God! Praise God, 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 praise God.
All right, grab your blue folder. Blue folder, towards the back of it, it's going to have a song called I've Never Been Sorry. I've Never Been Sorry. I love this song, and it really goes with the message tonight, and I want to sing it. And even if it doesn't, I want to sing it anyway. Amen. And I like it, and I usually kind of, we'll come back from a meeting or something and pick up a song that we like, and I beat Brother James up about here's a song, and so bear with us as we get started here. But don't forget now, and we can, I don't care if you want to stand or sit, you can do it, but you better sing out. Once we quit singing out, we don't have a choice, understand? All right, so that's your choice. But don't forget now, as we look here at the echo parts, the ladies are going to sing that first part on the second stanza where it says, I've never been sorry. They're going to sing that out. Men, we've really got the easy part with this song. That might be why I like it so much. Amen. But ladies, sing out now. Men, sing out too. Don't be bashful. You say, preacher, I'm going to mess it up. That's all right. It'll be all right. And once again, you're never going to be sorry for being saved. Amen. All right, here we go.
Ever since Jesus saved and pardoned, I've been singing every day. Praise the Lord, blessed holy name. Through the dark shadows, He is with me, leading me on the upward way. Praise the Lord, blessed holy name. Ladies, praise the Lord. Blessed holy name, all the way, He's exactly the same. Every day, since the Savior came, praise the Lord, blessed holy name.
Any questions? All right, here we go, second verse. That means that we're going to sing out louder. Second verse, here we go.
All the day long I sing the story, praising Him for His wondrous love. Praise the Lord, blessed holy name. Surely I know a home is waiting, beautiful home in heaven above. praise the Lord. Blessed holy name. Praise the Lord. Blessed holy name. All the way. He's exactly the same. Every day. Since the Savior came. Praise the Lord. Blessed holy name. On the third. Brightly the star of hope is shining, making my pathway brighter grow. Praise the Lord. Blessed holy name. Never a thought of sad repining. Jesus is with me, this I know. Praise the Lord. Blessed holy name. Praise the Lord. Blessed holy name. All the way. He's exactly the same. Every day. Since the Savior came. Praise the Lord. Blessed holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Grab your Bibles. Let's look over the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Amen. One of the hardest areas to preach about, we're going to look at tonight. And I know you're going to say, well, preacher, it's not Thanksgiving. Amen. And so we're going to look at God's desire here for us. I'm on, Jacob. God's desire for us, and I don't know that I was on this morning. Because this afternoon, when I was this on at the time? I don't know that it made it all the way through, because tonight when I was messing with it, trying to get everything around. Jacob, if you would also, I don't know what is going on. These are LED lights. I'm not getting heat off these lights. But it is hot in here. No church has more AC guys than I do. And it's still hot. Amen. I love them all. Yeah, it's called conviction, folks. It's conviction. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to discuss this topic of being thankful, even in times that it's really not something that we would really want to be thankful for. Not even the fact of, well, it's just uncomfortable or inconvenient. It's just not good. And God says that we're to be thankful in it. And so Ephesians chapter number 5, I want to start in verse number 18. So let's stand for the reading of God's word, and we'll get started here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. I will say that as I was finishing this up this afternoon, Sister Sarah asked me, she said, is it going to be long? Because she's like, man, you know, all the typing and all the doing. And I was like, no, it's not. I've only got 2 pages. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That last verse right there is really what I want us to look at tonight. Being able to give thanks always. For all things unto God and the Father in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Lord, as we come to this, Father, it might not seem to be a subject that can even be comprehended by our flesh, by our physical abilities, but Lord, I'm thankful through you we can. And Lord, as we would study it out tonight, I pray that we would see your truth through your word and how we can grow to come to that place. Lord, would you just help us tonight that we would be found, Lord, looking to you, Lord, just rejoicing in you. Even when the trials come, even when the heartaches here, Lord, that you're still good. And Father, there's so many that'll shout when they're up on that mountain, and they're so silent when the valleys come. Lord, I pray that it would be the other way around, that we would just be in awe when we're on the mountaintop. And we would start shouting for you.
when we're down in the valley. Lord, I just pray, meet with us tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We look at this passage of Scripture, and there's many in this room, even sitting at this time, have experienced and maybe even still experiencing some pain and heartache, but yet there's no one that's exempt. I've heard it said before, if you're not in a storm, you're either coming out of it or you're going in the next one. And we all experience that in our life, and you don't have to be very old to do that. I remember as an 8-year-old boy that my brother had died, and I remember standing there at the coffin and his casket and the burial of it. And oh, by the way, it was December 24th. And I remember that. And I can associate with death and relate to death very easily. I remember my own son as he was buried. And I know the heartaches and I know the pain and I know the struggling. I sit here now and I watch my wife as she can't, praise the Lord, she don't put on pants because she couldn't shimmy in them. Amen. I know you're going, preacher, what do you mean? She couldn't lift her leg to put them on because she's hurting. And as a husband, I hurt because she hurts. And there's disappointment that happens in everyone's life, and the struggles that she has and the difficulties that we all have and we all experience. She's not going through anything that someone else hasn't gone through before. Amen. Brother Scooter, you know what back pain is? I mean, have you ever had back pain? I mean, one day in your life, have you ever had back pain? Brother, this may seem incredibly cruel, and I don't mean it as such, but I could quote Brother Scooter by making grunts and moans in the pain that he has when he walks. Amen. And I'm not meaning that to be ugly, but if I was to say some of those grunts and moans that he says, Sister Woody would go, Brother Scooter speaking. Because he's in that much pain. And every one of us understand in some aspect of heartache. Amen. You might not have had to bury your brother. You might not have had to bury your son. You might not have back pain. Praise God. Here's the great thing about difficulties. If you stubbed your littlest toe, and it's an issue to you, and you're hurting over it, may I tell you, that might be the greatest pain. And so many times we'd look and we'd go, boy, that's not back pain. They don't know what that is. To them, that's just as bad as your back pain. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it might not be big to you, but to them it's still a trial. And may I tell you that it doesn't matter what you're going through and when. It might be a small trial in your life, but nonetheless it's still a trial. Amen. And others might look back and go, boy, I'm going through bigger trials than you are. And I've got much more suffering than you have. And my heartache's far harder and it's deeper than yours. But there's one truth that we find here in this passage of Scripture is that everyone has it. But we also find that God's bigger. Yeah, amen. Amen. And so we look and I can't even tell you, I can't even give you all the Scripture tonight. We do not have time to go through every verse of Scripture where God is speaking about giving thanks in those times when it's not comfortable to give thanks. You say, well, preacher, how can we be thankful in those times? Well, I'm thankful that God gives us the ability. When we truly look at the lesson that He has for us, how we can be thankful even when it's not the time that I've chosen it to be. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 18 says about the same thing as Ephesians 5, but I want to give it to you. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I find here that God's will is for you to give thanks even when you don't want to. Even when, Brother Stephen, your son's having seizures. Boy, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You say, preacher, that just sounds so awful and so bad. I want to show you tonight how this can be a blessing. How God has used these times for us. Take your Bibles now. Hold your place in Ephesians because we're coming right back. But I want you to look over at 1 Peter. Now, we're going to look at the book of James here in a moment. But over in the book of 1 Peter, we have about the same kind of situation We find persecution of the church. We find they're scattered. We find that they're out of place. Anyone been ran out of your home for any length of time? I'm not talking about you threw a roach bomb and left for the day and came back. Amen. But I'm talking about that you could not go back. I remember when we had the fire. We had a fire out here outside of town. It was back in May of 07. I had just been ordained. And we had just had a revival. And now we've got a forest fire out there that they cannot contain. They cannot stop it. They kicked us out of our home. And everything was dry, of course. That's when forest fires go crazy. I mean, if it was wet, it wouldn't have went, right? Amen. Some of you are looking at me like, preacher, I don't get this. Amen. But they kicked us out of our home. And you know what they told us? That we're going to let the road be the fire break. Now, hold on a second. The road, that means it had to go through my house to get to the road. You can't stop it before it gets to my house. And they're like, we'll do everything we can. And praise the Lord, He protected us. You say, preacher, the firemen put it out. No, it didn't even get there. But you know what I did notice when we got there? And I'll never forget this. We had walked out there in the yard. And I mean, it's crunchy. You can hear your feet. You know, it's like snow that's been wet and then it froze. I know a lot of you are going, preacher, I don't get that. But you know, you could hear it. It was crunching as we walked. And there was a piece of ash that was smack dab in the middle of our yard. You remember that, Mama? Smack dab in the middle of the yard. And there was a fire mark around it. And that's all that it went right there. You say, preacher, what's so... I mean, that was just the fact that it didn't have the fuel. It didn't have the fire. It didn't have the oxygen. No, it had the hand of God. And what we forgot is that God's not done. It doesn't matter where you've been scattered. It doesn't matter how much trouble. It doesn't matter the pain you're going through. God's still in charge. 1 Peter chapter number 1. The Holy Spirit of God, through the penman of Peter, is encouraging his church. And he tells him here in verse, I'd like us to pick up in verse number 6. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, remember that fact that this morning we had that measure of faith? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Have you ever bought something that was a knockoff? You know, I spent a year in Korea, and what's that? Talking about who? Fords? No, not right now. That's later. That's later. That's when I get to disappointment. No. I spent a year in Korea. And listen, they can make anything. John, you still got that bag? You still got that black bag? That? No, he doesn't have it. You had it. No. No, Mom doesn't have it. I gave it to you. You don't have it anymore? Now, listen, that was only in 1997. Amen. But they were notorious for, if you like starter, you're going to like start it. I mean, you know, that's just, they would have that name. It was close, but it wasn't quite the same. Now, there were some things they made that was awesome. And usually they didn't have a brand name on them. But the knockoffs, well, that's what they were. They were just imitation. They were a mimic of the product. Now, I know I'm probably going to step on some toes here. I am not a great big Dollar General fan. Amen. It is not my favorite store to go to. You say, preacher, why is that? Number one, you can't get down the aisles without tripping over all the junk that's supposed to be on the shelf. Amen. But number two, Clover Valley, I don't know where that valley is, but I pray God never makes me walk through it. It's got to be near the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. But I know you say, preacher, I thought this was talking about trials and not comedy hour. Laughter is a medicine. Amen. But we look and we think about, you get a Clover Valley cracker and you, hey, it's a Clover Valley cracker, isn't it, John? John knows what I'm talking about. Because he even told me the other day, he's like, I got Clover Valley water. I was like, why? He's like, it's really not that bad. Brother Mills didn't complain. I was like, Brother Mills is too nice to complain. Amen. Daddy will complain. But really, I mean, it says that it's what it's, they got the wrong recipe. Amen. And we've all done something like that. You know, we're going to save that dollar, and in the end, we've really spent more because we had to go back and get the other product. Amen. And I'm not, listen, I'm sure that Clover Valley has something nailed down. Amen. Just haven't found it yet. Keep buying it and let me know. Amen. I'll take your word for it. But the truth of the matter is it looked good in the package. It looked like it was supposed to work. It looked like it was going to be that. And I don't know, maybe you've got that garden hose that's supposed to reel itself up. But may I tell you, anyone ever bought a garden hose with the idea of no kink, that it's never going to get in a knot? You know what I can guarantee you? They're liars. Because they all get in a knot. Amen? I don't care if you get the industrial ones. We always get the quality garden hose. Because when you're stretching out a couple of hundred feet, you don't want something that's going to, well, knot up worse. Amen? And that would be truthful advertising, wouldn't it? Gets less knots than the competitors. Amen? And yet we still buy them. But aren't you glad that what God gives is exactly what He says it's going to be? It's not that we've got to look and try to find the fine print or even compare it to what the world offers and say, well, you know what? It's better than what the world has. And so I'm going to choose this because it's better than what the world has to offer. No, 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 no. I'm going to choose this because it's real. It's authentic. I remember Sarah's grandma and grandpa when we were growing up, they would go down to Mexico. They were snowbirds to Mexico. Well, Zapata. And they would go across the border there and they would get vanilla. And I remember the warning that I was given when we first got married and Sister Sarah is baking and she said, do not put the full amount of vanilla in that it says. Because it's the real thing. And if you put that real amount in there, that whole amount that it says with the real thing, it's gonna overwhelm that recipe. And, you know, I'm thankful that what God has is real. I'm afraid that the church has watered it down. The world counterfeits it, but the church has watered it down. But what God has is real. And he gives us this to encourage us and to keep us going. How can he tell us that in everything give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? Individually, it's not that ye as all of the church needs to do it at one time. No, no, no. It's talking about everyone's individual life. Amen. And so how do you do it? Well, I find, first of all, in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 18, I find it's real growth. How are you going to do this? It's real growth. Yeah. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 18, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. What is he talking about? Growth. Yeah. He's, listen, as a babe gets saved, or as that child of God gets saved, they're a babe in Christ. And they're not ready for that Thanksgiving all the time. How you, hold on a second. I've got all three of my boys here today. I don't usually get to preach to John, amen? But you know what I can tell you about all three of my boys? As they've grown. Now, John, listen to me. You're not supposed to have as many temper tantrums as Jacob. And Jacob, now listen, I'm trickling down, amen? Jacob, you're not supposed to have as many as Jeremiah. understand what this means. Now, I know you're going to go, preacher, you're not supposed to let any of your children have a temper tantrum. But don't worry, we put the Board of Education on the seat of understanding, don't we? Amen? But there's a truth to it. Because as a young child, a 2-year-old temper tantrum is normal for a 2-year-old. It's not cool when a 48-year-old has a temper tantrum. It's not really cool when a 5-year-old has a temper tantrum. But when we don't get our way, what do we normally do? Well, fine, if that's the way you want it. I mean, look at that. God's blessing them. Why won't He bless me? Hold on a second. Look at this hard time that I'm going through. No one else has this that I have. Do you know how bad my little toe hurts? Amen. And we begin to have this, and I look and I find in this passage of Scripture, because this still applies, listen to me, this is speaking about the child of God that's Spirit-filled. It's when growth has taken place, and how do we have that? First of all, spiritual surrender. Spiritual surrender. As we think of this real growth, we look at spiritual surrender. You see, being filled, and I know you say, preacher, you preach about this all the time. I don't know that we get it from the pulpit to the pew. It's not that we get more of Him. It's that He gets more of us. When I got saved, may I tell you, I got all of Him. Amen. I'm not waiting to get more of Him. There's those that teach that, boy, you're waiting until you arrive to this place, and then you'll get more, and you'll get another portion, and you'll get... No, I'm thankful that God, when He saved me, He gave me all of Him. And you know what I found? Is that when we get saved, we give Him a piece of us. Amen. And until we come to that place and we have real growth is spiritual surrender, where it's not my way, Lord, but Thou wilt be done. You know, I think of my Savior. And I'm preaching this off the cuff. But I can't tell you how many times that He would talk about that He was here to do the work of the Father, the will of the Father. And over and over and over again, He never once came for Him. Amen. And yet we live our life and we go, look at the struggles and look at the difficulties and look at the trials and look at the heartache. Why, this isn't fair. Amen. But if we had just surrendered His will, even when it's something that you don't want to do. Amen. So I find spiritual growth spiritual surrender in real growth. But I also find spiritual stability in real growth. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, take your Bibles, look over at James chapter number 1. Once again, we find a persecuted church. We find them scattered. We find them distraught from everything that's going on. But yet, I find that God is still there. God is still doing a work. And so, James chapter number 1, I want you to look at verse number 1. And I just brought us to this because or at least verse number 1, because I didn't want you to think I was making it up. Because there's a lot that we look over. How many times you read the beginning of the chapter or the beginning of the book, and it's like, okay, yeah, this was about the same as the last one. We just kind of go over it. I'm not saying you don't read it, but we just really don't put a lot of thought in it. But I want you to look at verse number 1 of James chapter 1. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He's look, you're having a great time. Hey guys, how you doing? Give me a high five. I know that this is hard right now. Woo, we're having a time, aren't we? That's really what he's saying. You say, preacher, how's he saying that? Well, look at verse 2. My brethren, count it a joy. Count it a joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He's talking here about being mature. He's talking about being complete. He's talking about the fact that you're growing up. Amen? Now, we could really have... We got enough age group here. We could have like a set of child dominoes. Amen? I know preachers got a warped sense of humor. Amen. But we could have some of them go up here and, you know, we could even get down, and I don't know if I could do it anymore, but we could get down in a three-point stance and we could just take off and see if I could blow them over. Amen. Now, all right, Bob, I'm starting with you. Come on. So if I can get you, I can get the rest of them. Amen. But we look and we think of this. Why is it so important that we have the right stance? He says, count it a joy. Count it a joy when you're going through this. You came to that place where you can stand. You say, preacher, I still don't see how you're talking about standing. Look over at verse number 8. Verse number 8 of James chapter 1. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You say, preacher, what's a double-minded man? He's the one that has that temper tantrum of a two-year-old, and he says, I'm going to serve God when everything's going my way, and I'm not when it's not. May I tell you, we live in a world of people that only praise God when things are going the way they want them to go. And don't take this wrong. God doesn't tempt us with bad. Amen. But I'm telling you, God allows trials to come into our life. He allows them to grow us to the place where we can stand. We need to come to, I told you that we need to draw that line. We need to come to the place where we've just decided, I'm just going to stand. Even when things aren't going the way I want it to, I'm just going to stand. Amen. And I'm not going to be tossed to and fro. Hello? That's what I know I haven't read all the text for you. But he's talking about being tossed to and fro. He says in verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You say, preacher, what's he getting at? Well, I'm in pain, I'm going to ask today. Pain's not as bad today, I'm not going to ask tomorrow. I'm concerned today because I'm afflicted. But tomorrow it's really not a concern. So I find real growth. I go on back to our text and I look at verse number 19. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You say, preacher, how in the world is this anything to do with giving thanks always for all things unto God? Because I find real glory. Real glory. Now, I'm sure I could ask Brother Mitchell about the Super Bowls of the last 10 years. Could you give me the last 10 years Super Bowls? Yeah, that's right. I can tell you the quarterback in most of them. But, you know, and boy, they get all this glory and they get all this fame, and who cares? Who's going to be in this next year's Super Bowl? Who knows? I could go back with who cares. But anyway, you know, we look at it and we would say that this glory that we have, it's short-lived. It is. You might have a good day today, but if you're glorying in yourself, your glory is about to run out. Amen. And so I look here and I find with God, and he says, hey, I know you're going to go, well, preacher, I don't understand the connection here. And just hang on a second, because you're going to. I look here and I find that he's got us directed in this idea that we're speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so I find our praise. I'm going to have you turn over to the book of Psalms. Hold your place in Ephesians. Turn over to the book of Psalms. And if you're writing it down, now don't turn here, but in 138, Psalm 138 and verse number 5, because I'm going to send you over to Psalm chapter number 30. But Psalm 138 and verse number 5, the Bible says, yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Now hold on. You missed that. Great is it. Hey, I have something to sing about because of him. Amen. Hold on. You say, but preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm telling you, I got something to shout about. I've got a new song. I've got a God in heaven that's still on the throne. Amen. It doesn't matter. I've seen some headlines and I don't care. I don't, listen to me. You're going to say, preacher, you're against one one president or another. I'm not. Amen. I think all of them are corrupt. Amen. And, you know, I seen some folks that just put up a fresh Trump 2020 sign. Bless their heart. You know, it doesn't matter who's in the White House. It really doesn't. Because it matters who's on the throne. And I just think about old Isaiah. And he looked up when he thought, oh, everything had just went crazy. Uzziah died. And he looks up and what does he see? The glory of the Lord. Amen. And it comes to that place where he begins to praise God. And listen, this is where we are. Go over to Psalm chapter 30. Look at verse number 12. And I look here and I find this real glory. Why does he say to sing to him? Because it changed. I've never been sorry. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we begin to just shout out. You have a bad day. I shared with you before, there's a little song that our pastor had taught us years and years ago. It's amazing what praising will do. And you just begin to praise Him. I'm telling you, God, whew, I don't want to jump ahead. But I'm telling you, this is what we need, and we can say thank you for the trials because I can sing a song to Him because His glory hasn't changed. In Psalm chapter number 30, and I'll get over there here in a minute. In Psalm chapter number 30, I want you to look at verse number 12. Psalm 30 and verse number 12. And the Bible says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. What's He saying? It doesn't matter. I've got the real glory to sing about. I've got a real God to shout about. I've got a real God on the throne. It doesn't matter what's going on in this life. It's but for a vapor. It's just a short amount of time. You say, preacher, you don't know the heartache. Preacher, you don't know the pain. I'm thankful none of us know the pain of Calvary. And yet we can still shout out. Notice, if you would, Psalm 43. Look at verse number 5. Psalm 43 and verse number 5. In Psalm 43 and verse number 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Boy, I'm telling you, sounds to me like we just need to praise Him when we begin to get squeezed. Amen. It sounds to me like we need to have one of those midnight moments there in the Philippian jail. Amen. And just begin to cry out and just praise Him. Pray and sing and shout out to the Lord and let Him know it might be dark in this old dungeon, but praise God, the Lamb's still the light in heaven. Amen. And so I look here and I find His praise, but then I find His presence. You say, preacher, well, I don't understand how we get from His praise to His presence. Because God shows up when we begin to praise Him. Amen. God inhabits praise. Amen. You just go ahead. You say, preacher, I just don't believe you. Try it out. It's real. God shows up. Boy, I've had some times where I've been praying and singing and just shouting to Him. And boy, all of a sudden, He's there. Hey man, I'm talking about real, and I know you're going to say, preacher, you're one of those kind of freaky guys that they believe that God just showed up and He was sitting right beside him. I don't know. I didn't feel Him sitting right beside me. I felt Him wrap His arms around me. Amen. Woo! I'm thankful for a God that knows what I need when I need it. And He just shows up because I begin to praise Him, even when the praise isn't easy. In Psalm 77 and verse 6, and you don't need to turn there, it says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. When was he singing? In that restless night when it was so much pain, so hard. He said, I'm just going to sing out to the Lord. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. I want you to take your Bible over to a familiar passage over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, I was looking at this and studying this out. God just began to touch me. And so often we use this passage of Scripture, and I love it. I love the account here, how God tells us that His grace is still sufficient. But I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 1. And the Bible says, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. Now why would the Apostle Paul say that? Because if we were to back up in chapter number 11, we find all that he's been through. And by the way, I don't know what all you're going through, but I'm telling you, I don't know that any of it equates to what the Apostle Paul had seen. Amen. I'm not trying to belittle what you've got. I'm not trying to talk about that you don't know what pain is or heartache is. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I tell you, if there was anyone that could have said, look at all I've gone through, look at all that I've done for the Lord, it would have been the Apostle Paul. And he goes, look, I'm not to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He says there in verse number 2, he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up in paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself will I not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. I look back and I'd like to point your attention to verse number 5. He says, of such an one will I glory. You say, preacher, he's speaking about himself. Of course, we know the passage of Scripture. There's many that would say that this was the time that he was being stoned there at Lystra, and this was that difficulty in that period of time in his life. And I can't tell you for sure that that's what it is. But I can tell you for sure of who he's speaking about. You say, preacher, he's speaking about himself as he was able to glory in him. No, he's not speaking about what he's speaking about who he saw. He's not speaking about what he got to experience. He's talking about the one that he saw. And I'm thankful that when I go through those times and I'm going through that heartache and I begin to sing and I begin to cry out to him and I begin to praise him, that his presence is real. Amen. He lets me have that heavenly vision of him, that he loves me and he died for me and he hasn't forsaken me. So often we use Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, and let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But I'm thankful there's some times he brings me to him. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, that can never happen. Oh, I beg to differ. Your God must be too small. Amen. Because my God's the God of this book, and he's big enough. And so I look here and I find it's real grace. It's real grace. And go back over to verse number 20 of our text. And hold your place in 2 Corinthians. We'll be right back over to it. Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 20. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I find here real grace. It starts with the possession of God. You say, preacher, how is that? Because that's where grace began. Is when I come to the place where I can call him Father. Amen. Did you notice that? He didn't want you to just cast it out there. He didn't want you to just broadcast it. Now listen to me. We pray one for another. Amen. And listen, the church is to love one another. We're to care for each and every member. And when one weeps, we weep. And when one rejoices, we rejoice. And we know that that's Bible. But he doesn't say just give it to anyone. He doesn't even say just bring it up to your pastor and listen to me. There's many tears that are shed, and there's many nights that are sleepless of the pastor's life just because of the love that he has for his congregation. But he didn't even say take it to the pastor. He said bring it to me. Hold on. Why? Because it's real grace. Amen. It's real. He says, look, you can have it, and it's because you have a possession in me. Oh, I love the fact that he says, God, you know, one of the relationships that the children of Israel didn't really enjoy or didn't get to enjoy, they enjoyed him as God. God Almighty, God Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah, they got to enjoy him as that. But you know what he was always wanting them to see? That he would be their father. You know what we've overlooked? That he's our father. Remember how this morning I told you that Jeremiah is brave enough to go out and he'll boss his soon-to-be 26-year-old brother around as long as Dad said so. As long as he can do it. And Dad said, why wouldn't we take it to the one that loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son? Amen. I'm talking about the possession. I remember back how I got in the family. Amen. I just saw myself as a sinner. You say, preacher, you're still a sinner. Oh, I am. I still fall short. I still fail him. But I'm so thankful that he knew that I was still going to fail him, and yet he loved me. You say, why would he save you if you're still going to fail him? Because, see, his love for me began before this world was ever formed. Before he ever breathed life into Adam. Jesus had already said, Father, I'll go. I trusted him and him alone for my eternal salvation. And I know you're going to say, well, preacher, the Bible teaches us repentance toward faith, or toward God and and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it does, absolutely. But I'd like to know everyone in here and their idea and their capability, because so often we believe that repentance means that we've got to repent and be able to come away from every sin possible in order to even come. I know a lady that went to hell because she was a smoker. You say, preacher, she needed to repent of that sin. Now listen to me. I am a firm believer that cigarettes will not send you to hell. They just make you smell like you've been there. Amen? But you know what she did? She said, I can't turn away from that, so I can't be saved. You know what she needed? Was to turn to him, and then she could have turned away from that. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Then she could, hold on, because we've got this all kind of mixed up. That repentance toward God is our mindset and the fact that we'll never add up. And I've got to turn to him and I've got to trust him. I'm still a failure, but I'm thankful that he gives me the strength to have the victory in him. Amen. And so I look and I find this possession that I have. And listen, I'm still part of the family. And he says, I want you to bring it to me. I want you to bring it to me. I look at the goodness of this, and I know I'm turning you back over to 2 Corinthians, but I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans chapter number 8. We're talking about trials. We're talking about being thankful for those trials when we walk away going, man, I don't want to be thankful for this. I don't want God to give it to me again. Or maybe it's the fact that I don't want to be thankful for this. God hasn't taken it from me. Amen. I'll be thankful when he takes it from me. No, hold on. That's not what he said. We're to be thankful even when we have it. Romans chapter number 8, this is why it's so important that we've seen in Ephesians 5 and verse number 20 that possession that we have in God as the Father, because he cares for my substance and he knows everything that I need. In Romans chapter number 8, look at verse number 28, and I know you're familiar with it, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so we realize that even the trials and even the struggles and even everything that we're going through, God's still in control. And he's working this. He's got a work going on in your life. And look on down, if you would, to verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now go on down. Look at verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, or all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You say, preacher, what's all that mean? It means I always have a place at the family table. Amen. Amen? How can I be thankful? Because no matter what's going on, God's there. No matter what's taking place, no matter how disappointed we may be, no matter how heartache, how broken in heart that we are, the love of God is still on me. I find real grace. But then I look over and I find real peace. Not just the possession under grace, but I find the peace of God under grace. Back over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Look at verse number 9. Of course, we know the account. The Apostle Paul had been given a messenger of Satan to buffet him, to afflict him, so that he would not be exalted above measure. And he had prayed 3 times, and God had not removed it. Notice verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, in my strength. I'm sorry, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Sounds to me like we can be thankful for all things, all the time. No matter if we're still holding them. Does that mean that you're not going to hurt? No, not at all. But it means my God knows my pain. See, how do you know that? Because He was touched with our infirmities. Right. Amen? How can I be so thankful for the trials that we have in life? No matter how big, no matter how small, my God's still greater than they are. And I have real grace. You know what this world wants? Is peace. They're looking for peace. Why would God have us go through these trials? Now listen to me. The world's not watching you when everything's going good. Because everyone can shout when everything's going good. When does the world take notice? When you have peace in the trials of life. When you don't know how to turn, but you just rest back on Him. And you say, Lord, I'm just going to trust You. And you're calm about it. This world panics. I'm serious. I don't know. You say, preacher, boy, you've been out in the world a whole lot. I'm telling you, they just don't know what to do. They're running frantic. And they're trying to figure all of this out. But I'm thankful God's already got it figured out for me. And all I have to do is rest in Him. May I tell you that the same Savior that spoke to Paul is the same Savior that speaks to us? My grace is sufficient. Why? Because it's real. It's not a knockoff. I know you say, preacher, we need more of that grace. Is that not why we were saying amazing grace? Because it's still amazing. Amen. But it's still all we need. It really is. He is all we need. And He gives us that grace to rest. You know, we never find another account where the Apostle Paul has ever asked for God to remove that. Ever. You say, preacher, obviously God changed His mind and He removed it. I don't believe so. Tells us here that He wasn't going to. Amen. We could even look at the end of the Apostle Paul's life, and what did he say? I've finished the course. I've fought a good fight. Amen. I might have been limping along the way. I might have had pain that I'm dragging behind me. Woo! Praise God, He brought me all the way to the finish line. Can we be thankful for the trials? Oh yeah. I'm not saying you're going to count it a joy. That's kind of hard to swallow. Brother Stephen, that's kind of hard to swallow. But I think that God knows what he's talking about. God's doing the work. He's going to grow me that it's not just got to be my way. Amen. He's going to turn my focus to where it's not just what I'm going through, but instead it's he's still in control. And then he's going to give me the grace to bear it because I'm just going to leave it on him. Amen. That's my God.
Amen.
And so therefore we can be thankful for the trials that stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Lord, I do thank you for your grace that you give us. Lord, as we think of this message, as we understand our failures, Lord, I'm thankful that you're not ever, nor can ever fail. And Lord, I pray, help us tonight. Lord, it's easy preaching, but I am thankful for the strength you give us through these trials. Lord, would you just touch us tonight? Take this invitation, Lord, use it to your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As the music softly plays tonight, God spoke to your heart, I encourage you to come. God spoke to your heart tonight, and I'm thankful for what God's